So I vented, and I shared with you some of the basics about Haiti in the last segment. Naysayers and people who still want to believe that it's just crazy that powerful business interests would show any interest in the production opportunities, production potential in Haiti. Enjoy your stay in La La Land. Because again, what is the answer to most any question? As I've asked before here many times. Money. Money is the answer to most any question. So, let's get a bit more specific, shall we? First off, what companies are or have made money operating in Haiti? That's a mystery. Well, here are a few of them. And you might have heard a couple of these. Sears, Levi's, Toys R Us, Kmart, JCPenney, MacGregor, Jordache, Judy Bond, Aries Electronics, IBM, RCL Electronics. Heard of Univac Telex? How about Unisys? Tempo Instrument, ring a bell? Power System. Maybe you've heard of ITT. Designatronics. Mark White Knight / Edmund. GTE. Oh, I know them. Company Computer. Can't say I know them. Compaq. Oh, yeah. Power General. Electrodynamic. Myron Industries. Some other ones that I haven't heard of, but I'm sure they're making cash. IMC Electronics. Connection General Electric. Mitsui. Heineken Malta. PepsiCo. Coca-Cola. And there's more. But I think I've proved the point. That's from, by the way, CAM.org, a French-Canadian company that linked to another site called InnerSocietal.org, an anti-Aristide site, and I don't care what it says, what it's about, because it is an anti-Aristide site, that seems very interested in business opportunities in Haiti. Now, that list isn't to automatically slam any of those companies. It really isn't, because I haven't conducted a wage audit of those companies, so I won't assume that they set up factories over there for the low wages. I guess they probably just set up shop over there because of the peace and quiet. Maybe. I'm kidding, but only kind of kidding. Because the point is to establish that there are more than a couple of corporate and political interests in Haiti. So let's look at some other specifics, shall we? You've heard, or may have heard, of from or in the liberal media, as Rush Limbaugh likes to say for you first-time visitors, that Aristide was elected fraudulently in 2000.
It was a sham. That whole election thing, it was bogey. It was just a sham.
Well, you've heard that, right? Well, I'll just echo what Peter Hallward, and I'm not familiar with his work, I'll be honest, but I'll just echo what Peter Hallward of the UK's The Guardian Unlimited said in a March 2nd, 2004 report, because I can't say it much better than he did. And he wrote, "If you've been reading the mainstream press over the past few weeks, you'll know that this peculiar version of events has been carefully prepared by repeated accusations that Aristide rigged fraudulent elections in 2000, unleashed violent militias against his political opponents, and brought Haiti's economy to the point of collapse, and its people to the brink of humanitarian catastrophe. But look a little harder at those elections. An exhaustive and convincing report by the International Coalition of Independent Observers concluded that, quote, fair and peaceful elections were held, unquote, in 2000, and by the standard of the presidential elections held in the U.S. that same year, they were positively exemplary." Hallward, now, that's the end of his piece, the quote I'm going to read you. Hallward goes on to say that the reason the elections were labeled false by some of Aristide's opponents was that in the same election year, 2000, Aristide's Lavalas party, which means flood, by the way, won 16 out of the 17 available Senate seats. And that didn't sit well. That didn't sit well with the losers. What are you left to do when you get your ass kicked that badly? I'll tell you what they did. They cried, "No fair! No fair! It must be dirty! This must be rigged!
Because there's no way the Haitian people support Aristide and his party this overwhelmingly. No way!
For Americans observing the election victory margins in other countries, particularly our own, I understand, look, it's easy for us to look at victories by 40, 50, 60, or higher percentage points as immediate proof of fraudulent elections, because we don't see those kind of landslides here. So we raise an eyebrow, don't we? But you got to understand that landslide victories don't automatically mean that there's some kind of fix involved, that the fix is in. No question and no doubt, we can point at bogus elections like the one where Saddam Hussein wins 99% of the vote and question that. But just because, and I know this is going to sound obvious to some of you, but just because one person in one country wins overwhelmingly and it's bogus, doesn't mean that someone else who wins in the same manner is illegitimately elected. By the same margin of victory. And I mention this because Aristide was elected with more than 90% of the vote in 2000. And that reality became fodder, unfounded fodder, mind you, for Aristide opponents to be able to say to the press that Aristide stole the election. But again, there's a little problem with that notion. The elections, as I point out for the second time, were closely monitored. And not by a group of Aristide puppets or Aristide supporters, but by an outside and independent coalition. I wanted to repeat this point because the fact that Aristide was legitimately elected, both in 1990 and 2000, is not up for debate. And those who want to keep calling him illegitimate haven't the ground to stand on. The fact that Aristide was and is that damn popular really gets at some people, particularly Haitians that were loyal to the old and truly crooked violent regimes of the past. They don't like that. Now, it may seem reasonable to assume that Aristide's popularity has diminished somewhat since 2000 or even earlier, but where's the census data? Where are the poll numbers to prove that? The last significant opinion poll Haiti had was called an election. And you know how that went. But if there are appreciable numbers that have fallen out of favor with Aristide, if there are, then there are some important reasons to look to explain that. And they're just a bit, just a tad important. Now I explained, and I'll get to them. Now I explained in a general sense in the last segment that Aristide wasn't the popular choice of business interests of the United States and some politicians. And if it is a problem for American business, it's a problem for Washington. Forget any simplified beliefs that Washington exists to punish business. That, you know, that generalized, inaccurate right-wing rhetoric has nothing to do with this dynamic. When private American interests are at stake, believe me, politicians take notice. And policies are formulated based on that. They're formulated based on that concern. If that's too complicated a point for you to fathom, to understand, I'm wondering how you were able to turn on your computer today, look at your keyboard and understand letters and numbers, type in a URL and navigate the internet to listen to me today. So here are some reasons Aristide's popularity, if it truly has faded, here's some reasons why it might have. And again, I'm not going to say it has, because it hasn't been established. The local media in Haiti, local newspapers, that is, they're owned overwhelmingly, again, I think I said this in the first segment, by Aristide's opponents. Local Haitian television, you know, doesn't exactly give a flattering or even fair coverage of Aristide either. They don't do much better. So the local coverage is typically flawed and agenda-driven. And folks, I got to tell you, the agenda, it ain't reporting. So then you have to ask yourself, where does Reuters or the Associated Press get its Haitian news from? People are giving us news. They got to get their news somewhere. And where is it coming from? What is the source of the information Americans are getting about Haiti? It's coming from Haitian publishers and editors, members of the same elite class, and business owners, members of the same elite class that worked to undermine Aristide. And they're not even subtle in their analysis. So Aristide has to contend with unfair media coverage that depicts him as a tyrant, even though Haitian people know all too well what real tyranny tastes like. The other reason Aristide is unpopular is that the Haitian poor are still poor. Now, you can blame Aristide exclusively for this if you want to. I won't fight with you on that too much. I don't believe that myself. I personally do not blame Aristide for the plight of the poor. At least not exclusively blame Aristide. Now, I never said that Aristide was the world's most effective leader, or I gung-ho like the guy. Because that's not... But the point is, that's not the point. Because, you know, your opinion, my opinion of Aristide, of any democratically elected president, really shouldn't matter. But unfortunately in Haiti, the sentiment of a few people did matter enough to oust a sitting democratically elected president. And they didn't just undermine Aristide, they undermined democracy in itself, which is a large point. And I don't know why so many people have a hard time appreciating that. They're the same people who talk about how they respect democracy, and they're full of it. If they respect democracy, then they respect democracy. Give me a break. But despite the bad press Aristide had, he did make some noteworthy, he did achieve some noteworthy things. He had some accomplishments that even during his truncated administrations, you got to remember, this guy never got to serve a full term. But even during his truncated tenures, he managed to do some noteworthy things. First of all, Aristide, he disbanded the crooked military that was responsible for the outright murder of tens of thousands of Haitians. That was important because the military was corrupt, and Aristide knew that it was important to get rid of them, and he did. That's one of the reasons, arguably, why other coup attempts were not successful. Unfortunately, others were, but it would have been much harder for democracy to begin without that move. Doesn't matter, though, in the end. The people with the guns and the money win, even when it's wrong. Another thing Aristide did was he opened more schools in his time, his brief time. He opened more schools than were opened in almost two centuries before his election. That's notable. Another thing he did was he doubled the minimum wage, which is probably seen as excessive and unreasonable to local business people. 50 cents an hour? Are you crazy? And the other thing Aristide did was he began to address the AIDS issue in Haiti. And he did it with an education campaign and the beginning, the template of a medical treatment program in Haiti. So despite the smears and threats and other coup attempts, Aristide did manage to do some things. It's not like he was golfing or inviting folks to his ranch. But it becomes hard. It becomes real hard for a country like Haiti, which needs and is owed, that's right, owed, foreign aid badly. It becomes hard for a country like Haiti to get itself going when embargoes and sanction after sanction are imposed on it. Now, all you free enterprise idealists out there can sit there and say that Haiti needs more enterprise, and I'll agree with you on that. But what these economists and entrepreneurs really mean when they say business is that Haiti needs more foreign factories to come in and pay the people piss-poor wages and have them to continue to live in squalor. No thanks. The dirty little secret, though, is that there is private enterprise in Haiti. There is private enterprise in Haiti, and a lot of it is Haitian-owned. But the Haitian elite class, some of them anyways, are a greedy, contemptuous bunch of people. Just the worst type of people. And they're not sharing the wealth. They're not investing their wealth to create local industries that could pay, I don't know, decent wages and really help people out. Because decent wages, even in poor Haiti, aren't good for the profit margin, don't you know? Indeed, the ruling class, the Haitian ruling class, so I'm dogging the wealthy Haitians here, I'm dogging them. They are the slumlords of Haiti. They are the slumlords of that island. Some of them, that means they just don't care enough. Spending some of their own cash to fix up the place, maybe get a few light bulbs, hire some staff, isn't appealing to them. It's never appealing to a slumlord. They're hoarding money. They're hoarding money. I'm not calling for socialism in Haiti. I am not calling for socialism in Haiti. Socialism is not the answer. I am a capitalist. I say it's the best system we have. And some of you who are left of me might not like that conclusion. That's how I feel.